I want to read you Mark chapter 1, 35 to 39. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, so the clocks haven't gone forward, Jesus got up, left the house, and went out to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his compatriots went out to look for him. And when they found him, they explained, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So they travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons and doing healings. Right, you might say, well, what is all that? There's a real emphasis. Jesus is in Capernaum, whereas if you know Israel, it's not like Woodham. Right, so Israel, okay, we're talking about Galilee. From north to south, Galilee is 40 miles. Okay, let's go back to the M25, right, and the other end is Burnham. Okay, about 40 miles. Yeah, about that. Southminster, you know, from the M25. And across, it's about 25, 26 miles across. So if you go to Southend, and then you go out to about Malden, right? Sort of about 26 miles. That's the zone. And in the middle of that, there's a 7-mile lake called Galilee. And at the top of Galilee, right on the shore, is Capernaum. And that's where he's at this morning. Okay? He's in Capernaum. So he's talking about going out to towns and villages. So he went to the synagogue. He said he preached and teached and cast out demons. He goes to the, he's in someone's home because he's got up early in the morning and he's gone out because he was in someone's home in Capernaum. He was in Simon Andrew's home, okay? And he gets up early in the morning because they've gone there in the evening and they've slept and he's gone out. So he's gone from someone's home. So he goes there to eat, sleep, and have a chat with people. While he was there, lots of people came, and he actually healed Simon's mother-in-law, because she, when they got there, she was ill in bed. And he actually went upstairs or into the bedroom, laid hands on her. She was, fever went immediately, and she got up and then cooked a meal. And they ate. And then lots of people came to the house and he made a lot of people well and he cast out demons. Then he's beside the lake and he talks to crowds. And then he goes up into the mountains and he actually spends some time with God. And he actually goes up into the mountains when he takes some of his followers up and he makes the 12 disciples. This is very early on in Jesus' ministry. Now, if Jesus came to Woodham, right, if Jesus came to Woodham as one of the towns and villages, where would he go? Now look at where you've been this week. In Woodham. So if Jesus came to Woodham, there's a strong possibility that you would meet him. If you look on where you've been there, and you look on where he would go here, you would meet him. What impact would he have on you? Doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, Jesus would still meet you. Doesn't matter if we're from the youngest to the oldest, Jesus would still meet you. And would interact with you and communicate with you and spend time with you. Because that is Jesus.
passage in Mark, right at the beginning, Mark 1, said very early in the morning, Jesus got up, left the house, and he went off to a solitary place to pray. Do you remember where Jesus was in the passage? Do you remember the town? Capernaum. He was in Capernaum, wasn't he? Do you remember what he'd been doing just before he was at his house? Do you remember what Pete mentioned it? He'd been at the synagogue, been preaching and teaching at the synagogue, and been driving out demons, been healing people. He'd had a really busy, busy, busy time. So now he goes off to the home of Simon and Andrew, and he takes with him James and John. So we've got Simon, Andrew, James, John, Jesus. We're told there that his Simon's mother-in-law was there in bed with a fever, so she was there. We're also told later on that virtually the whole town gathered at the door. So he had a pretty busy evening, afternoon, didn't he? The whole place was abuzz, that room that he was in, that house would have been very busy, lots of people coming and going. This was early on in his ministry. It would have been a busy place to be. So what did Jesus do that next morning? He got up really, really early. We're told it was still dark. And he goes off. He goes off and finds a solitary place, a quiet place, so he can spend some time with God. That passage sets a pattern that we see repeated lots of time in the Gospels, lots of time throughout the Gospels. Jesus taking himself off, drawing aside to pray. Often it's before really significant events, but it's really clear from some of the passages that it was a really common pattern of Jesus's time, because he was really busy. He had huge demands on him, but he made time, some time, to pull himself off, to take time. Now we know this isn't Jesus' only pattern of prayer, is it? It's not at all. We know that he prayed with others in community. He prayed in synagogues, he prayed in homes. He prayed as he went about his business. But it's clear that it was his habit, he had a habit of solitude with God that was vital for his ministry. It's a pattern that we also see in the Old Testament, the prophets setting themselves aside, having that time. And it's also a pattern that we see as we look through the early church and see patterns there. You know, sometimes I wonder, why did Jesus pray? Because surely he must have been in kind of constant conversation with God. He must have been really close to God. But we know he was separated from God by his humanness. And so he needed to spend time with his Father to enable his ministry to be true and to be effective. So that time was his real firm foundation for his ministry. I love talking. And I love talking to people. Anybody else here is a bit of a talker? Yeah, some of you will be, some of you won't be. Yeah, I love talking to people. I also love praying and talking to God. And I love bringing people before him and situations that I feel prompted to. And I believe in the power of prayer. And I know that that's true of many of you here. And that you have a real heart for people and for what God wants you to be praying for and what he wants you to be doing. Rach, would you mind just saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, just going to ask Rachel just to share something from last week.
First of all, I want to say a massive thank you for last Sunday, everyone that was here. It was really, really special time for me. It was perfect timing, I feel. Obviously, we've just moved back to Woodham, started coming back here to church, where obviously a lot of you in here have seen me grow up and supported me in my faith. Now, last Sunday, to be standing here with my children, and now knowing that you're going to support them, thanks. I really appreciate that. I think it's absolutely amazing. But that evening, I went back and I got a bit emotional. I went around, drove around to Mum and Dad's, which is really great, it's really near now. And I just broke down in tears. And I was so, so thankful to all of you and to God. And not just for the support of Sunday and for the future support you're going to give me and my family, but I really wanted to say thank you for all the prayer that I had even before them. I know a lot of you in here really prayed before we had Abigail. And I know it's not a secret that we struggled to have Abigail. And I'm really, really grateful for all that prayer and the support which you showed me when I wasn't even based here at the time. I was over in Chelmsford, that you still supported me. And then to have them here and to have Joseph here, I just wanted to say thank you for all your prayer that you have given us and for the miracle of my kids. So thank you to God and thank you to you as a fellowship. Thank you.
But that is the power of prayer, and that is us praying in community and praying as God's family. But I'm not good at being still, and I'm not good at being silent, and I'm not always good at listening. And I wonder if that's true for some of the rest of us here as well. That disengaging from noise and activity and other people can actually feel a bit uncomfortable, it can feel a bit odd, and it can actually feel a bit self-indulgent at times as well. I don't know how many of you, if any of you are following the LICC prayer journey at the moment, Fit for Life. I'd highly recommend it if you're not. But in part of that, it's looked at the work at... It looks at some prominent sort of writers around faith, and one is Richard Foster. And in his book, Devotional Classics, he talks quite a bit about solitude and how that can feel the opposite of being productive in work. And in our busy lives, it can seem like a bit of a waste of time. Whereas in fact, it is that vital prerequisite for action and for service. That's true for Jesus. We know it was true for Jesus. So it's so much more true for us. We spend the majority of our lives in situations with people that don't share our love for God. The normal course of day-to-day human interactions, they lock us into patterns of feelings and thoughts, you know, geared to a world that isn't aware of God's love. Now, you might be thinking now, Hazel, I'd love the chance to have a bit of time alone with God, a chance to have a bit of silence, a bit of stillness. But families, work, it all crowds in, attention time, and actually appears to make the possibility of a bit of peace and quiet impossible. Or you may be in a situation where actually you spend a lot of time alone and would long for the opportunity to have more time with others. And solitude may not be and seem like a friend. But as Psalm 46:11 said, be still. What does it say? Be still and know I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Spending time being still, not having an agenda, focusing on God in the present, is here now, is here with me. Back in that passage in Mark, when Simon and his companions found Jesus, they sounded a bit annoyed, didn't they? What was he doing off by himself? Everyone's looking for you, they exclaimed. We know it would be daft for us thinking, Jesus shouldn't have spent all that time in prayer. If he hadn't have spent all that time going up the mountains, going down by the river, just think how many more people he could have healed, how much more preaching he could have done. He'd have got a lot more done. We know it's daft, don't we, to say that. There are unlimited areas that we want to pray for in this church, in the groups, in the schools, in communities, in the country, the needs of this world, and we need to continue to be faithful for those. This church is built on that. But God can do even more amazing work around us. Imagine Jesus walking the streets of Woodham this week, visiting the places you're visiting, and walking with you. What would he do? One thing I can tell you certainly he would do. He would find a quiet place, spend time with his father.